doesn't take a rocket scientist in the 21st century reading statistics and various write-ups and even looking at reports and so forth about the Church of Jesus Christ in the 21st century. It's very obvious that something is wrong, that something seems broken in the Church of Jesus Christ. So I read over the text for today from Matthew chapter 10. I saw in this gospel that things have not really changed much in 2,000 years. We get a sense here in the text that something is wrong. Something needs fixed. Now, if you know anything about what's called the Great Commission, you know 18 chapters later in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus, resurrected from the dead, gives the disciples what we call the Great Commission. Go into all the world, to all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey what I have commanded. We call that the Great Commission. Go into all the world, teaching people to obey what I've commanded, baptizing them. But here in the 10th chapter, we find a more defined commission that we can really take to heart today in the church. You see, Jesus is always commissioning people. He's always challenging them. He isn't sitting back or standing around or in his travels just telling everybody, you're doing a really great job, just keep doing what you're doing, and you know we'll all be happy and things will go well. He's always challenging people because he knows unless they are challenged, even his disciples, that they're not going to grow in their faith. We wonder oftentimes why things in our lives happen, why God allows them to happen. He's challenging us. He's testing us to strengthen us in our faith. And we get that sense here in the text today. Jesus is in Galilee, traveling about. If you read the prior chapters, we find that he has the Sermon on the Mount, the blessed are these and blessed are those, a picture of the kingdom. He's talking about the law of Moses, the laws of murder and adultery, divorce, oaths, the law of love. He's teaching about the practices of kingdom life in relation to giving, in relation to prayer, in relation to fasting, in relation to money and worry and judging. You see, Matthew presents Jesus as the king. That's why we get an ancestry in Matthew. Matthew is presenting Jesus as the promised descendant of David whose kingdom would never end. So we see Jesus coming on the scene in Matthew, doing all these miracles, working all these miracles, and teaching as a king would, having a power beyond an earthly king or an earthly kingdom. And Jesus was teaching the people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, I'm not saying that it's coming soon, but what he's saying is it's very near to us now. It's right here. It's as near as it can ever be in Jesus Christ. And we need to reach out and become part of that kingdom. So he's in Galilee. He's traveling around healing. He's traveling around teaching. He's traveling around showing his power as a great divine king. And he calls his disciples. And it seems almost like there's a discrepancy here. He calls his disciples, but he sends his apostles. And the reason for that is in the meaning of the words. The word meaning of the word disciple is a follower, a learner, someone who sits under someone else and learns from them and follows their teachings. An apostle, however, is someone who is sent out. So there's a transition here being made, we see, in his disciples and his followers, which is a transition that's very relevant to the church today, and in some cases is the very root of the problem why the Church of Jesus Christ in the 21st century is broken. Because this transition is never made in the life of a believer. And the focus here of the text, notice, is on the lost sheep of Israel. Let's get in here. Let's see what it says. He called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. first and foremost, as followers of Christ, as disciples of Jesus Christ today, we need to understand that we have been given a certain authority. All right? You say, gosh, not me. I can't do this. I can't do that. Yes, in a sense you can, by the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit who lives in you and gives you a divine power beyond your earthly abilities. So that when you step forward in faith to do the works that Paul says in Ephesians we were created to do in Christ Jesus, it's not you doing it, it's Jesus doing it through you. You see, you become his mechanic to help fix the brokenness. This is where the Holy Spirit really gets the glory in working in our lives. And in inadequate human beings to bring a certain divine touch to what we say, to what we do, that really reaches down into the hearts and lives of other people. So he gives them authority. Remember that. As followers of Christ, we are given authority beyond what this world gives us. Don't ever underestimate the authority that you've been given in Jesus Christ. Not saying you're better than someone else, but saying that he's given you power to do what you normally would not be able to do on your own. He gives the names of the 12 apostles now. And he names these 12 men who were disciples are now apostles. Why? Because he is sending them out to do his work, to be his mechanics, you see, to fix a broken community of faith. And he sends them out with authority. Jesus doesn't ask us to do things and then stand back and say, good luck. No, he sends us out with authority. And he sent these 12 with authority. It says in verse 5, he sent them out with the following instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, wait a second. Here's where we have to stop for a moment and examine what's going on. Jesus takes his followers, his learners, his disciples, and he's saying, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out now. I don't want you to go to everybody. That's the Great Commission. That comes later. I want you to go to the lost sheep of Israel. Israel was God's chosen people, right? God loved them, loves them, and always will love them in a special way. Special way beyond what he loves the Gentiles and all other non-Jews see. But what's with this lost sheep thing? Go to the lost sheep of Israel. What Jesus was saying is that he wanted them first and foremost to go to those of that community of faith that God specifically chose who are lost. That tells us there's a problem in that community of faith. It tells us something's broken, that people have separated themselves and broken off, and the reason they had is because of false teachers that had come into the community of faith, the Pharisees, and taught them falsely about the law of Moses, about grace, and about living in society. And Jesus breaks on the scene and he says, no, this is not what the law of Moses was talking about. The law of Moses was talking about God's grace and God's forgiveness and that we're to love one another as we love ourselves and as Jesus first loved us. Something was broken in the community of God's chosen people that needed to be fixed, and Jesus sent his 12 mechanics out to repair the brokenness. And the tool that he gave them was the message. The kingdom of heaven is near. In other words, what he was saying to them, tell them the kingdom of heaven is near. It's right here now. And you can be part of that kingdom of heaven through Jesus Christ. Now, he goes on to tell them a little bit about how they're supposed to travel. they're supposed to trust in people taking them in to provide for them. If people reject them, they're just supposed to wipe the dust from their feet and move on. And he says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. He's sending them out as sheep among wolves. That's pretty scary, isn't it? That's pretty scary. He's telling them it's going to be rough. But I've given you authority, and I'm sending you out. It's a commission. And he says to them, go to the lost sheep of Israel and tell them the kingdom of heaven is near. I want to be part of God's kingdom. Repent and turn to Jesus and believe in Jesus. God's chosen people were lost, misguided. They were off the path. They had lost their way. They had lost their focus. And it became a faith community of with the mindset of we deserve. We deserve this. We deserve that. God's never going to turn his back on us. We can do what we want. It became all about laws and all about rituals and so on and so forth. And Jesus said, it's not about any of that at all. What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, Jesus said. And the second's like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, that's the kingdom of God. These disciples were to be, literally be mechanics. Literally to be mechanics. Now, back to what I began with. When we start examining the church of Jesus Christ today, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of difference. The followers of Christ are grafted in as God's chosen people, the Bible teaches us. Christians grafted in as God's chosen people. Christians are the called out ones, the church. The church in the original Greek language was ecclesia, which means the called out ones. The called out ones. In other words, Jesus calls us out of the norm of everyday life. He calls us to be special. He calls us to be set apart as the church. We're supposed to be different. We're called out. We're followers of Jesus. And oftentimes we don't make that transition, see. We like to say, yeah, I'm a called out one. I'm a church member. I'm a Christian. But we don't make that transition and become an apostle. We don't become one who is sent. You see, and as a result, we have a broken church. We have a broken body, the church. Paul says, in 1 Corinthians 12 is like a body. It's one body with many parts, a hand, a foot, an eye, so on and so forth. But what happens is there are those in the church that have broken off. I'm talking about the ones we don't see this morning. The ones that we never see. The ones that are on our rolls. But sometimes we can't put a face to the name. And I'm not just talking about here, I'm talking about the church universal, you see. The church is broken and all of a sudden it seems like those who are still part of the body don't even really care. It's not my problem that they're not coming. It's not my problem they're not involved. Yes, it is. It is the church's problem. Jesus says, I'm giving you authority to go out to the lost sheep. To my lost people, to the called out ones. It's like a body with broken parts, like with a broken arm or something that's been severed. It's a freak anymore. Some people say, well, I don't need church. I really don't need church. You don't need church to be a Christian. You see, folks, that's completely silly. That is so silly to think that way. And it's actually unbiblical and beyond New Testament teaching to think that I can have a relationship with Jesus Christ all by myself without being involved with the church. That's not what Jesus intended. He intended for us to be a body, to be together, to be working together. Some say, well, that's not our job. That's the preacher's job. Paul said, no, it's not the minister's job. God gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. My job here is to help encourage you and to teach you that this is what Jesus has called us to do. And when we start saying, well, it's not our problem that they're not here anymore, it's not our problem they're not involved in the church anymore, becomes part of the problem itself. Because we've not made that transition of being a disciple and being an apostle. These are not titles, folks. Disciple and apostle. They're not titles of greatness. They're simple words that should describe the church of Jesus Christ in a process of first becoming a follower of Jesus Christ and then going to those who are not in and out of the church now with the tool that God has given us. And it's the message that the kingdom of heaven is near. We're called to be God's mechanics. Called to be God's mechanics. You know, whenever there's something broken in our lives, it needs to be fixed, doesn't it? We live in a society that when something breaks, we throw it away. I don't think Jesus wants us to throw the church away. I don't think Jesus wants us to close the doors of the church. I think Jesus wants us to get to work. I think Jesus wants us to pick up our tools, and go to the lost sheep, first and foremost of the church. Those who profess to be Christians are missing, first to the lost sheep, and then to the whole world with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul told the Corinthians, we are all part of one body. The body's a unit. It's made up of many parts, and though all parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. We are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. We're all given the one Spirit to drink. The body's not made up of one part, but of many, you see. It's made up of many. And it doesn't take long to notice that there's something broken about the body of Christ. It needs to be restored. And we say, well, that's Jesus will do that. He'll fix it. And that's true. But how's He going to do it? He's going to do it through the tools that He's given the church. And you say, well, I can't do that. I'm not worthy of that. I don't have that ability. That's the awesomeness of the gospel and the presence of the Holy Spirit, that God takes normal people like you and I and He fills us with the Holy Spirit to go to others around us, those that have not been here or are not here, not participating in the body, and saying, we need you, we love you, we miss you, come and be with us again and celebrate being part of the kingdom of heaven. And when people see there's something different about us, something different about us. They're not going to come to Christ because of what you know. They're going to come to Christ because of something they see deep inside you that changes you or has changed you. You know, we're saved by God's grace, not by works, so that nobody can boast. And we're not only saved, but we're changed. The old is gone, the new has come. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We have to make that transition, folks, from being just simply a disciple that sits around at the feet of Jesus, and we have to make that transition and truly become the apostles He intends for us to be. Each one of us here knows different people. We're given different ministries, different scenarios, different worlds every single day that we're in.
she can be where you are.
You see, we all have those ministries. We are God's tools. We are the mechanics of the church. And if the church is going to be fixed and repaired and restored, we have to make that transition. And realize we've been given authority by Jesus Christ to do it. We have to be bold to do it. We have to be true in doing it, even though we're going to be like sheep among wolves. We've got a lot of bite marks. But the Lord's going to heal us and continue us on as we fulfill the commission that He gives to the church, His chosen people. And the challenge today for us is both chapter 10 and chapter 28. First and foremost, to go to the lost people of the church and help to bring them back onto the path. And secondly, then to go to the whole world with the message of Jesus Christ. To share our lives with them, to invite them into our lives and into our church, and let them know that we love them as God first loved us, and that we want them to know the joy that we know in Jesus. Let's pray. Our Lord and God, as we continue to be